about. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth.
Had to put a well, let's try that again.
Restart.
Had to put a delay on this conversation as we were dealing with a tie yesterday. But welcome back, Chew. How are you?
Yeah. Well, I got up at 4.
I was about to say, you're, according to your body, what time is it?
I mean, to me, it feels like 11, 12.
Okay. Nice and fresh.
I don't know. It's weird.
You getting a little hungry?
Bright eye and bushy tailed?
Yeah. Well, I went to bed last night at 6:40.
I thought you were going to say 4 something.
Woke up at 4.
Uh-huh.
I'm fine.
Yeah.
I feel good. Trip sucked.
When's the last time you took a good trip? I feel every time you come back from going somewhere.
Greece last year was. Greece and Turkey was.
Okay.
The best. Off the charts. This one didn't suck, but there's not enough time to go through all the negatives. But there were only 2 incidents where the under-over was like 6, so we... You know what I mean by incidents.
Oh, the over-under... Okay, sure.
Yeah. We thought there'd be more.
Okay.
There were only 2.
So the under hit a number of incidents that happened.
It was fine. It was good. River cruise, don't ever do a river cruise unless you're 75 or older. Mm-hmm. Ton of antiques.
Yeah.
Lot of antiques.
Were you the youngest people on the river cruise?
There were a couple. There were probably 3. You know? But it's just the river cruise. It's not like you pull up to the city, so you pull up to a port and then you got to go on a bus for two hours for it. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be around people, especially for that long.
Well, yes. What do you want to do?
I want us to pull right up to the city, have an Uber, go wherever. It's just different.
I hate to break this to you.
Yeah.
But cities,
yes.
Generally speaking,
people,
full of people.
I know, but the river should just pull right up to the city, not be an hour away. Bottom line is... We live in the best country in the world. I'm sorry. It's the best.
I don't know who you're apologizing to.
It just is. It's just like they're slow over there. They're lazy. It's just, I don't know. It's just, it's not my deal. It's not my deal. But it was fine.
Can you remind me where you went? I was trying to tell Dario yesterday, and I threw out a river, and he goes, I don't think that river's in Europe, Jed.
The Danube. So we went.
That's what I said.
Went Budapest, Vienna, Prague, Salzburg, a couple filler ports.
How close in proximity are all these places?
Well, it's like a cruise. You boat at night. You know, you go to bed and they boat at night and then you pull up to a new place. You know where they got us crushed on? Crushed. Culture. Who cares about culture? Oh, you got Beethoven. Ooh, we don't have a Beethoven.
We don't.
Turn the page already. Jesus crow. I can't watch TV. I couldn't watch anything because it's so restricted over there. They don't give you water. And the water that they give you tastes like ass. You know? It's just like...
Big Sebastian
We
Bach.
Rolled with it. It was fine.
What's he ever done?
The Angries were awesome.
Were the Angries angry?
You want to hear a good one, though?
Always.
So, yeah, what is it where you share photos? What's it called?
A photo album?
Oh, where like you airdrop on the phone?
Yes.
Yeah.
So the wives are up to 1,375 photos.
From just the trip?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
How many do you think I took?
0.
4.
3.
4.
5.
I took 5.
You would win.
Does that tell you anything?
Wait, what were your 5 photos of?
2 were on the plane.
Uh-huh.
All right, what would Chewie want? Hold on. Okay, I can think of this. Okay, what would Chewie want to take a picture of while he was in Europe that he found entertaining? Because again, when I was in Scotland, one of the times I was over there, he wanted me to take a picture just to make sure there were any dentist's office. So, like, we were passing through one of the towns on one of the golf courses, and I saw a dentistry, so I took the picture and sent it to him.
Okay.
Oktoberfest. Now, that is an experience, but it's weird. It's nothing like I expected.
Okay.
It is state fair with 14 huge tents that house like 8 to 10,000 people, and then it's rides. It's like state fair, like amusement ride, carnival really? Rides.
Huh.
Very weird, and it's just held in like this one state fair park.
Yeah.
And then they break it down. The Germans are drunks.
Breaking news.
I thought the Irish were worse, but everyone was like, Germans are, they're just like out of control. And well, I'm fine with that. It was actually very entertaining. The train is a train wreck. Okay. We had a first class seat. Doesn't matter. No one checks it. No one checks tickets. You sit anywhere. And I'm like, that was one of the fights. Guy told me to get out of my seat. Yeah. Good luck. Try to move me. That's what I said. I said, move me. You know?
Wait, was he speaking in German?
I don't know what he was speaking in, but he wasn't speaking my language. So he went away sad. Like, I could care less.
So he went away sad.
And then the other incident was, we went to this pizza. They clearly ripped us off. It was a place for your ripoff. So we were ordering stuff, small pizza, salads and stuff with that. They came out with everything that was the most expensive. So the salad with steak and chicken, all that. Three huge pizzas. You know, clearly something we didn't order. They were just knew we were Americans. And then all of a sudden, someone lost it, and then I lost it. We won.
Aren't you supposed to be
we
the
won.
Voice of reason
no.
when these things
I
happen?
Piled on. You don't challenge us, okay? Don't challenge us.
So
the best line of the thing
I just
want
to make sure I understand. They were bringing food you didn't order?
Yeah.
And then they were going to charge you for the food you didn't
yes,
order?
Yes, yes. You know? It was a scam.
Was there a language
and then she
barrier
came over after
where you
she
ordered
got,
something accidentally?
After she got dressed down, it was the greatest. And she's like, I'm not going to take this. I'm like, yeah, you are. You're going to take it. I'm a lawyer. And I'm like, obviously you're not a good one if you're working in a restaurant. Okay? And we dressed her because she clearly ripping us off.
Chewy doesn't respect the side hustle.
No. But overall, it was
and
fine.
Yet calls them lazy.
Positives? I got to get back to you on that one.
So what Dario and I were discussing, because we have toured riverboats for, you know, later in our years, when,
yeah.
you know, and he was like, what did y'all do on the boat? Like he said, on those riverboats, they don't have like a comedy show, a mm-mm. casino, you know, like he said, it's pretty low key. You eat dinner and you go read a book. Is that what you
yes.
did, you? Did
there's
you go
nowhere
read a book?
No, there's nowhere to go. It got progressively worse as the trip went on. Started good, very good. And then as we went along from port to port, the food got worse. The service got worse. Do not do a river cruise. Do not.
All right.
Do not do one unless you are old. No, really.
But like
the rooms were literally.
Whoa. So you're telling me old people are just accepting what's happening to them? It seems like you had a bad experience, but you're just going to.
They don't know what's going on. They just wander around. You know? Wait, they get in the way.
Wait, so they're like the offensive linemen that you call cattle?
Yeah, basically. Good analogy. Very good. The room was about a third the size of this.
Yeah.
A third. I was showering a phone booth. I went in a phone booth to make a point. It was bigger than the shower. I couldn't move around. I couldn't do anything.
Yeah. The problem is, Chew, especially if you're going to be visiting historical places in Europe, you're too big.
Yeah.
People weren't that big back then. And yes. they've retrofit so much stuff over there to fit the history and culture and all the things that they have
yeah.
over there that we don't because they're much older. Right.
Yes.
You're literally too big. Humans were not your size when these things were built,
yeah.
and you just don't fit.
I do feel like you could have just dominated, though, if you had been born back then over there. Can you imagine running into a guy like this?
He'd be a freak.
He'd be the king.
Yeah.
King of everything.
It is time.
I mean, I just assume that he's the size of, you know, the story David and Goliath. Like, that's just the size Goliath was back then.
Yeah, it was very uncomfortable. But we made do. It was, and like, the Angries are great to travel with, so, but we'd never, that's just part of the country, just like, ugh.
Did you have
part of the world?
Well, because part of the world, part of the world, Austrians are the nicest. Austrians, very nice.
Uh-huh.
Which doesn't make sense that the Germans aren't very nice. Wow.
You know what?
Okay.
Let's keep it moving.
Oh.
But maybe
pay attention to those documentaries you
so
watch.
So the weather. Listen to this. They don't like to talk about that. Either,
oh,
by the way.
Really?
I wanted to talk about it. No one wanted to talk about
it. Did you ever think that maybe that's why they weren't very nice?
Yes,
you keep
possibly.
Trying to bring up the darkest moments in our world's history to them.
That they caused.
No. So I looked at the weather report for the whole trip, and it was supposed to be anywhere from 65 to 80. First couple of days were 80, and then it went to the 50s in rain. Try buying a coat for me over there.
Did you buy two and sew them together?
No, it was this fat guy little coat. And I was freezing, so I had to zip it up
Why
all the way.
Why didn't you get a picture of that?
And it looked ridiculous. On top of that, it was like sky blue.
It's perfect color for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to need a photograph of that. You in the tiny blue coat.
I mean, there has to be, if Angie was taking 1,300 photos, there has to be a picture of it somewhere. So my question for you, though, because you went to Oktoberfest.
Yes.
Which famously serves beer. You, not a beer drinker.
Yes.
Famously drink exclusively wine.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably been over a decade since you've had a beer. Did you have a beer at
Oktoberfest? I did. Okay. And the beer was actually really good. But it was huge. You know what's amazing? How the women over there can just house booze. I mean, because you're in these tents. It's weird. It's like you get a reservation from 10:30 till 4, right? And they are smashed at 10:30. So you have, everything over there is picnic tables.
Yeah.
Right? You're all sitting at picnic tables. And you just watch from group to group. And there's women. These beers were probably 40 ounces. They're having three of them. And I haven't drank beer, so the buzz is a little different. I drank one and a half, and I'm like, whoa. But the thing is, I'm with,
The Angries?
The Penny Pincher. The wine was like $90 a bottle, but the beers were like $14 for a big one.
Yeah.
You're drinking beer.
Here we go.
You a picture. Did you get the picture of the leader?
Yes, we had this conversation, so please fill us in. Let us know how it went down.
It went great until you got to take a leak.
Yeah.
And then it's impossible to take.
So what'd you do?
Well, I lost a button, an important button. So Angry, without telling me, because he's an engineer, removed all the buttons and put Velcro on.
Oh.
So I'm struggling. I'm like walking around Summerfest like this.
Just holding up your shorts.
What are you, Napoleon? I'm like, no, I lost the button.
I do like the idea that you have to be an engineer to put Velcro on pants.
Yeah. Well, try getting a needle through the leather. Yeah,
Josh, you and I, regular people like you and I, would never have that idea. You have to have an engineering degree in order to think of this.
And then the bathrooms are all like cattle troughs.
Oh, so it's like going at Wrigley.
Yeah. So then I'm sitting there trying to do the old, under the leg, let you guys know. You ain't pulling that leather off.
I was about to say, the leather's a little more restrictive than the typical athletic shorts that you wear.
We wondered about this while you were gone. We discussed how you were going to relieve yourself in the lederhosen.
So the Penny Pincher realizes that wine is more expensive than beer.
Yes.
That's true over here as well, that the wine is more expensive than beer.
Yeah.
And yet you're allowed to drink wine over here?
But the ratio, like white wine costing $90 a bottle and it wasn't that good. Yeah, that was a tough one. But Oktoberfest it's unbelievable. So it was probably two state fairs. They had to shut it down on Saturday because there was 1.5 million people in there.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a lot of beer.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of what that's comparable to.
Probably like a parade for...
Like a
championship.
Just the sheer size that this place has to be to house 1.5 million.
Yeah.
That's what I'm struggling to comprehend. Because again, State Fair Park is pretty big.
Yeah.
Summerfest grounds pretty big. You ain't fitting 1.5 million people in either of those spots.
And then the other thing is, you can drink at 16 over there. There were kids that were just tanked.
Oh, yeah.
Tanked.
16, it's Oktoberfest. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see that.
So.
I mean, guys, I'm looking up just comparable 1.5 million. You're going to have a tough time finding an event, as we said, because the city of Philadelphia has 1.5 million people. So you basically had the entire population of Philadelphia.
Yeah.
At Oktoberfest.
It was crazy. Because there was a picture of it. I don't know. Angie got it somewhere.
All right. Oktoberfest typically draws over 6 million visitors annually.
Yeah.
Is it a month long?
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Yeah.
Holy
two cats. Weeks.
Wow. That's unbelievable. Well, I'm glad you... You know, Oktoberfest is going on this weekend, I believe, here in Milwaukee.
Well, so I got the uniform. Anyone wants it?
Who?
Might want to wash it.
Well, first and foremost, yes. Second of all...
Alter it.
Like, who the hell is fitting into your lederhosen?
Good point.
If I put it on, it looked like I borrowed my dad's lederhosen, like when you borrow your dad's suit.
But I would say this, 97% of the people are dressed up.
Yeah, getting in the vibe, yeah. getting in the spirit of it.
Yeah, it was.
What kind of noises you're making over there?
It's just dressing up in themes.
You don't like it?
Ugh. I went to a housewarming party that had a theme.
Really?
Why does everything need a theme?
Not everything, but I mean, if you go to Oktoberfest, I feel like that's it.
Sure, but there's too many themes. We've gotten theme drunk. There's too many themes. Let's just hang out. Let's be people. I don't need a costume. I don't need to wear... Why do I have to wear denim?
What was the theme of the housewarming
party?
It's
a denim party. The hell is that?
A denim party.
You're supposed to wear as much denim as possible.
In the middle of the summer.
Yeesh. That's what I'm saying.
Person having the party from Canada or what?
Don't know.
I do know. Yeah, housewarming party. Want to feel like they're at home?
Yeah. I do
bunch
know.
Of Canadian tuxedos.
Canadian tuxedo, yeah.
So recently a thing I've noticed is all the invites I'm getting for gatherings are like now digital invites. It's no longer like a text message or a typical invite.
Like an Evite.
Yeah, and what that affords people the ability to do is then alter the invite. So what was once a regular party now becomes a theme party when something gets decided on it. So week of... Now I'm going to a denim party, and I'm wearing jeans, and I'm sitting outside. I don't want to do that. I want to wear what I want to wear.
I don't want to be a pirate.
I don't want
to be. To be honest with you, though, if they didn't enforce it and didn't, like, make you do it, you probably would feel okay. Like, you might even wear denim to a party, you know? But it's when they put the expectation of the uniform is denim that I think you like to, like, maybe
push back
a little.
I think I can count on one hand. The amount of times I've seen Josh wear denim.
Jeans?
I wear jeans here a lot in the winter.
I've also seen him wear jorts. You got some jorts, don't you?
Do you wear shoes, though?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, here comes.
No, I mean, he wears, like, clogs. I've never really seen him in a sneaker or anything.
I wear sneakers, like, every week.
Yeah, but I thought he was going to go with what he calls Birkenstocks.
Oh,
see, I found out when I was over there, too, that he became our boss, and I tried to jump him. But my wife wouldn't let me have service.
When you say you tried to jump him, does that mean congratulate?
No.
You thought that meant he was going to send, hey, Joshy, congrats, exclamation point. You think that's of the emails that you've seen Chewy send?
No.
And there's only like three of them because they're all memorable. You think congrats, Joshy, was going to be number four?
On that note, we got to take a break. Jason Wilde is coming up next. We're going to talk about the Green Bay Packers. A lot of stuff to get to yesterday. The Bucks had their media day, and Giannis Antetokounmpo had some interesting, I would even argue, eyebrow-raising things to reveal. We'll talk about that. Of course, the wild card series getting underway today, and that means the Cubs and the Padres are going to be playing. We'll start to figure out who the Brewers will play in that NLDS. All that and more coming up this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Stick around.
Still plenty of time to play some great golf. So what are you waiting for? Join a great place like I did. That great place is Wisconsin Country Club. Just about 2 years ago, I joined out there, and I have loved it ever since. It is a great place to go and play a lot of fun golf. Great membership to play golf with. And if you're looking for other things, again, I'm a golf nut, so golf was the most important thing to me in the club. But how about this? No assessments, no food and beverage minimums, just an incredible, challenging course. Top-tier amenities like tennis, pickleball, and a pool. Check out all of those things. Just go to the website, wisconsincountryclub.com, to get started today. Wisconsin Country Club, it's just a fair way away.
Ready, down, put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Brought to you by Exterior Pros. Ready to tackle your home improvement project this year? Exterior Pros and Baths is here to help you score big with quality home exterior and shower upgrades. Visit extpros.com. Also brought to you by Lakeland Supply. Lakeland Supply is in business to make your business better. Set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com.
Always great to get the insight from our friend and teammate Jason Wilde. Good morning, Jason. How are you doing today?
I'm great, everybody. How are you?
Good. Chewy's back. We love it. Telling us stories about his European vacation. Yesterday, Pro Football Focus announced that the highest graded player across all positions on Sunday was one, Micah Parsons. Were you surprised to see that, given how many points the Packers defense led by Micah Parsons gave up on Sunday to the Cowboys, Jason?
Maybe a little. I mean, obviously he had the one play that was very impactful. And again, when you're watching the game, sure Chewy and Tausch and Bulaga and Brad Nortman see it a little differently because of their NFL experience. But it didn't feel in real time like he was having a major impact until the play where he chases down Dak Prescott in overtime. That prevents the touchdown. So yeah, I was a little bit surprised by that. Yes,
was Halfley too overconfident, Jason? To me, it seemed like he played way too much zone. Especially, I don't know why he did with Lamb out, because really their only star player other than Lamb is Pickens. Was he just overconfident and said, "Hey, we got this. Let's just do our thing and get out of here with a win"?
I don't know about that. So what, like? They play a ton of zone, right? I mean, they play cover three, and that's their preferred game. What would you have done differently?
It just looked way too easy. When your receivers are just finding holes, you know, and he never did anything to change it up, to change the tie, to take a chance. I don't know. It just seemed way too easy for Dallas. Who was without their best receiver. It's just, I don't know.
Yeah, I think what I was surprised by was, like, one of the things that the first 3 weeks they were so good about was rallying to the ball, and they tackled really well. I don't know how many missed tackles they had, but it had to be an enormous number. Like, they were just bad in the tackle in that game. And then, obviously, I thought whether they're playing zone or man or whatever they're playing, I thought their corners played really poorly. And when that happens, you know, whatever system you're playing, when they play that badly, you're putting yourself in a really bad spot. And I thought that's exactly what they did.
Per PFF, 8 missed tackles in the game.
Felt like more. It felt like there was 8 missed tackles on one play alone.
All I can do is just give you the numbers, Jason. But for a guy that was once caught on camera saying all gas, no brakes, what can Matt LaFleur do to kind of change this narrative that he kind of turtles up when they have opportunities to win games? Because they got awfully conservative once they got into field goal range and got inside the red zone. And it just felt like, all right, we got to make sure we get out of here with a tie. And if we don't win the game, that's fine.
Yeah, I think Tausch is right. I mean, he said it yesterday. I think he was just really worried about leaving time left on the clock. And
who cares? Score a touchdown, the game's over.
Correct. I agree. Oh, hey, preaching to the choir. But I think he was, the experience of the previous week, right, where you didn't necessarily think the Browns had enough time to go kick a field goal. And the fact that Brandon Aubrey can make like 80-yard field goals, that's, you know, I could see why he was concerned. At the same time, you're exactly right. Like, the game's over if you score a touchdown. But again, like, there's no doubt he deserves criticism, right? I don't think there's any question about that. But again, I just don't understand why players seem to, you know, and I know he always says it starts with me, and you know, he said the play call sucked at one point during his post-game press conference. But I don't understand. Chewy, help me out. Like, they were...
Yeah, I know. I agree, Jason, because the theme of the show yesterday was beat up on the offense, where, you know, for maybe a series or two, I thought the offense played maybe the best game of the year, and the defense sucked. I just don't get it, you know?
They did. And my point is, yeah, it's great. The offense was as good as it was all season, and Jordan Love was awesome. They converted all these third downs. He made some big-time throws. All those things are true. But they were all lollygagging around after Wilson gets tackled in bounds.
Yeah, that's the problem, Jason. The reason why the focus is on that is because the defense played poorly. They did. They gave him 40 points, right? But they had an opportunity to win the game, and they didn't. And it felt like after being aggressive early in that series and taking some of those chances, they decided that they were okay with the tie. And I think that's why people, speaking for myself, where you kind of left going, yeah, all those things are true. 40 points, 489 yards of total offense. Josh Jacobs looked great finally in that second half. The cut he made on that second touchdown was outlandish, was so good. Matthew Golden's making big catches, 3 touchdowns for Romeo Doubs. All those great things, I don't want to say they could completely undone, but it just leaves a bad taste in your mouth when the last thing you see is how they handled, A, the plays on leading up to the lollygagging. I think that whole thing, you're just going, wait, what the hell is this?
Yeah, I don't understand it either. Now, again, they had a shot play called down the field, and then Love checks it down to Emmanuel Wilson in the right flat, which with no timeouts, I don't understand. Like, I would like to have seen him throw a fastball right over Emmanuel Wilson's head, right? Mm-hmm. So it stops the clock. He was obviously hoping that Emmanuel Wilson could make a guy miss and gain more yardage and then get out of bounds. That's not what happened. The previous play lost 3 yards. So now you're sitting at 3rd and 14. I don't know if LaFleur got the play call. You know, my understanding was, because they'd popped the timeout before the Emmanuel Wilson play, that they had 2 plays called for what they call O-zone, which is you either get out of bounds, that's the O, or you throw the ball into the end zone. And instead, you know, that they obviously do on the incompletion to Matthew Golden on their last play from scrimmage. But again, I thought it looked to me like the players were not understanding, you know, like Chris Berman, tick, 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 mm-hmm. tick. Like that. It just looked like they were unaware of the urgency that was required to get lined up. And
which is crazy because they had to go no huddle at a different point because they hit the 2-minute, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's the whole thing just is so confusing.
Right. And my point is that as much as LaFleur always takes the blame for everybody, that to me looked like it was on the players for not understanding the urgency that was required there. I'm sure LaFleur was in Jordan's ear going, all right, we got to go. Okay, we got to go. Let's go. We got to go. And the fact that they slow played it the way they did, and then, I mean, I understand they still had 1 second left, so they had enough time to tie the game. But, like,
they were lucky to have 1 second.
They were so lucky. Right, exactly.
Well, how it works, Jason, is this, and I question the assistant coaches a little bit, because you go back to Holmgren's tree, and there's head coach after head coach after head. There's only been one head coach with LaFleur who was a train wreck in Hackett. So there should be an assistant coach up there going, hey, we got three guys on the left, trips left, trips left. And they should be in his ear going, trips left, trips left. And then LaFleur goes, all right, run X slant here. Look at the backside. They're going to be in cover two. It's that easy. It's just, I agree with you, the lollygagging, but even the lining up and this, it's just, I don't know how much help he's doing getting from assistant coaches, and if LaFleur is just overloaded and he's trying to do too much.
Yeah, and he's not going to give up play calling because I don't think he feels like that's going to help the issue.
Yeah, I don't think he should either, Jason, because it's not like I don't know who you would give it to.
But it's just like it shouldn't be that hard. And I didn't like when the timeout was called, Jason. Yeah, I didn't like when they used that timeout.
His play calls got them 40 points and 489 yards.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they obviously butchered the end of the game. Like, let's just be honest. You know, I think it was Adam Schefter who made the point yesterday that if that throw by Love doesn't hit Jack Sanborn, former Badger, in the back and just goes out of the end zone instead, they don't have any time left, and then they lose. And then the criticism, for as much criticism as they're getting, deservedly so, it intensifies even further if you don't even have the time to kick the game-tying field goal to escape with a tie. So, it was a bad look all around. And it, to your point, it undoes all the good stuff offensively, right? Because offensively, all we're talking about is that. And then defensively, we're talking about where did this come from? They were leading the league in scoring defense. They were third in the league in yards allowed. And then suddenly the Cowboys, without CeeDee Lamb, without two of their starting offensive linemen, put up 430 whatever in yards and 40 points, including two on a blocked extra point, which I don't know how many times, Jason, there's been those, but that was new.
Can I ask a question real quick? Who is in Jordan's ear? Is it LaFleur?
It's LaFleur, yes.
Why?
It is LaFleur.
Why?
Because he's the play caller.
I know, but Andy Reid was always in Brett's ear, or whoever, Mooch was always in Brett's ear. This is what I'm talking about, doing too much. He's got to sit there and look at the play, and he should trust his quarterback coach or his offensive coordinator to be an extension of him, where he doesn't have to worry about that. Because you're looking at I'll stop venting.
No, I hope you feel better. We're here to make you feel better, Chu. Okay. That's great to have you back, by the way.
So you're telling me, in your day, it was a game of telephone?
What do you mean?
So Holmgren would give the play to Andy, and Andy would give the play to Brett?
Some of it would be signaled in, the formation would be signaled in, and then just the play would be in the headset.
So who's giving that play?
It would be Andy.
And Andy's getting the play.
Andy's
getting the play from Holmgren.
Correct.
So it is a game of telephone.
Correct. But you can all hear. You know what I mean? It's just, I believe one person can talk to the quarterback. You can't have multiple people.
Mm-hmm.
Jason,
yeah,
go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. No, I'm good.
What should fans expect the offensive line to look like coming out of the bye?
I don't know what Aaron Banks' situation will be. We've got LaFleur at 2 o'clock today. It's the only availability we have this week, which usually during the bye week we get a bunch of assistants. So I thought that was a little bit curious. And we usually at least have the coordinators. So we don't have that either, which I thought was interesting. If Aaron Banks is ready to go, obviously they would put him back at left guard. I mean, I guess it's possible that Zach Tom returns the lineup. But, again, after the way that has played out, I felt like he needed this week. He needed the bye week and probably needs another week or two to get back to 100% on that, because otherwise you just keep setting yourself back. So I suppose it's possible that they have both those guys back and they have their chosen starting five out there, but I would be skeptical of Zach Tom. And then I thought Jordan Morgan, and I don't know if the Pro Football Focus grades bore this out, Gabe, but I thought Jordan Morgan played pretty well at left guard. And I'm starting to think he just belongs at one position at a time. And if Anthony Belton's ankle is good enough, then you play him at right tackle if Zach Tom's not available. Darian Kennard, I know, saw he had a pretty good grade from PFF. So I just think they have to stop moving Jordan Morgan around and just play him at left guard. And then I understand he's one of your best five, but Steno was trying to tell us he's as good as Zach Tom and Elgton Jenkins at moving around, and I just don't believe that.
Yeah, so Darian Kennard was their top-ranked offensive lineman. Morgan was their second. Sixth highest offensive grade for the Packers.
There you go.
Jason, we appreciate the insight. Always a pleasure chatting with you. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, everybody. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde can be heard on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every morning here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. Want to dive into the state of the Packers. Colin Cowherd had some interesting things to say yesterday about how the dynamic that he sees in Green Bay. We'll break that down right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. You know there's a reason that we've trusted Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin here at ESPN Milwaukee for as long as we have. And I'm just the latest in the long line of people to trust them. Had them into my house, looked at the windows. Okay, we're good there. But what about this front door? All right, let's get this new front door. And it can be overwhelming. You're welcoming somebody into your house. You're going through all these different customizable options. But the team at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin is always going to point you in the right direction. When a customer chooses Pella, one of the most important things to them is honoring that trust and commitment. Their vision is to be the company that people want to do business with. So if you use Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and order by the end of the month, get 0% interest for up to 5 years. Just visit PellaWI.com today. And when you use Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, tell them that Gabe Neitzel sent you.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You can just save yourself so much time by going, okay, we like this guy, this guy, this guy. Let's take a look at all the different things he did at the combine. I just hit my phone and now my hand is just tingling.
What is with you two today? Jesus. Do you know how to function?
I just like...
On 94.5 ESPN.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, we turn to some funny places for support, especially when we are going through it. Have you ever talked to your friends over and over and over and over about the same issue and finally they go, hey, we love you, but we can't do this anymore? That's why sometimes you need to talk to a professional, and BetterHelp has them at your disposal, guys. 10 years of experience and industry-leading match fulfillment rate means they typically get the match between patient and therapist right. But if you're not happy with who they pick for you, don't worry. You can switch therapists at any time. It is very easy. They've got 30,000 therapists, the world's largest online therapy platform. And our listeners get 10% off their first month at BetterHelp.com/timeout. Look, I've talked to you guys about therapy. It has done wonders for me and my ability to navigate the challenges of life. And it can do the same for you. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/timeout. So look, everybody saw what we saw this weekend when the Packers tied the Cowboys. We thought the Packers were a better team than this. And look, I am Captain Clunker, right? I'm the one who says, hey, every team is going to have a clunker here or there. Maybe one or two per season. Teams just do not go undefeated. And maybe this was the Packers' clunker. Hilariously, it wasn't even a loss. It was a tie. But Colin Cowherd was on the radio yesterday, and he gave up a different explanation for why he thinks the Packers might be showing what they're showing. And it all goes back to youth. Take a listen.
Take a deep breath, Green Bay fans. You are still, for the third year in a row, the youngest team in the NFL. In the last 2 weeks, part of being young is you can't figure out how to close out games against inferior teams. You just can't figure it out. The Eagles, the Chiefs, the Rams, they got veterans. They close out those games. That playoff experience, that wisdom. Green Bay is crazy talented, but Matt LaFleur isn't a head coach. He's a chaperone. This roster is full of 24, 25-year-olds. And there's not many great corners in the league. And let's be honest, George Pickens had a day.
Jude, do you buy that the youth of the Green Bay Packers, which obviously we know is an emphasis in Green Bay, they want it that way. Backstreet Boys. Do you buy that that is a reason why we saw what we saw against the Browns and the Cowboys?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, you have to have some veterans on on the squad to show these young guys.
At what point are you
a part of it?
At what point are you a veteran, though? Is Tucker Kraft a veteran, or is he still a young guy?
I'd say 5-6 years. I mean, obviously it changed. In my day, guys were playing into their 30s. Now, very few guys play till 32, 33.
Well, unless
you're a quarterback. For whatever reason. But if you look at...
Punter?
I mean, just look at our defense, the veterans we had. During the you had Eugene, you had Leroy, you had... I mean, we were littered with them. Coons. And I get the whole you thing because, obviously, the money. And you just fresher legs, you know? But I think you need this. There are situations where you're like guys that have gone through it before, and you talk about baseball and all the other sports. It makes a difference. I just don't like it. I mean, it's not a badge of honor. Youngest team. Oh, great. Great. Who cares? Put the best team out there.
So Tucker Kraft is still a young guy?
Yes.
Okay. So anybody on the rookie contract is still a young guy? Even though they
even though
they've played in these playoff games the last 2 years.
Yeah. 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 Because I watch Kraft too, and Kraft's, I mean, he hasn't even reached his peak yet. I watch his game, and he still makes mistakes, and he still does wrong things. You know, I would say into my fifth, sixth year, I would continually grade out in the 90s. Not because I was, you know, at peak athletically. Mm-hmm. It's because I knew how the game worked. Once you figure out how things work, the game gets so easy. You know, and that's why back in the day, you could play until you're 34 because you lose your step, but now you know how to take shortcuts on where
to go.
You're
smarter.
Yeah. And your vision's so much better, and you see things, you're like, okay. So instead of taking it me at 30 as opposed to 25, now I'm taking my routes to 8 yards instead of 10 and still being effective. Just because you just know how it works. It's kind of like anything.
So you agree with this sentiment that...
I don't think he's a chaperone.
Okay.
I don't think he's a chaperone. I think he pulls his hair out sometimes, you know? So, and we were right there. I mean, when me, Brett, and the crew were 93, we did some stupid stuff. I'm not off the field. I'm talking on the field.
But also.
But, you know,
yeah.
Why not both?
Yeah.
You know, kind of a why not both
but
situation.
We would, Holmgren always, he would always say, and I remember, like he was asking, you can draw it up in the dirt, but it better work. And that's what, you know, because there were things that me and Brett would just make up, you know, just because we knew. And he would see it, and I exactly knew what he was talking about. Like the Mike linebacker's going to blitz.
Yep.
Safety coming down. Bro, just go chew, chew, chew. And go, yep, gotcha. And I just run right over the ball, dip, 8 yard gain. Wouldn't get yelled at.
Because you got 8 yards.
But that's drawing it up in the dirt. They're not to the point where they can draw it up in the dirt yet. And you can't do that with young. Those relationships take years. Like, it's like anything, like doing this, you know, you get better the more you do it.
So can the Packers do what we want them to do if they're constantly the youngest team in the league?
They can, but the important relationships have to grow. Like even Dobbs, and they don't have that look at one another on everything and know exactly what they're thinking. They don't.
Because, I mean, the number of, I guess, what you would qualify veteran.
Yeah.
So veteran would have to be somebody at the minimum on a second contract.
Yes.
So that would put us, I mean, Zach Tom signed his second contract this offseason.
Yes.
But he still obviously was in the final year of his rookie deal. Is he a veteran?
Is he year four?
He's year four.
I would say he's got one more year.
Okay.
I would say he's got
one more year.
I would say fifth year, you got it.
Okay, so... Basically, the only Josh Jacobs and Elton Jenkins are the only Josh Jacobs, Jordan Love, and Elton Jenkins are the three on the offensive side.
Let me give you an example with the offensive line with Zach Tom, right? You should be able to plug anyone in at left guard if Tom's in his fifth year and you should know how to work with him. because there were times with Earl, who was my right tackle, right? And we'd have a combination block to the linebacker. I know how Earl's going to step and how he's going to move and how long I have to stay on that block or help him more. You know, whereas if you're a young guy, you don't know. You're like, you're just a gunga head. You're just like, okay, I'm a robot. You know, veterans know, like, okay, Timberman, going to need a little more help. I got to stay on this for half a second longer to help him. If you're a veteran with a veteran.
And I just go back and look at the penalties for this season. I just pulled up the NFL penalties. They're aggregating it for the season. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Green Bay currently ranked 7th in the league for the most penalties over the 4 games. I believe they have 42. The leader in the clubhouse is Jacksonville with 50. You don't want to be in Jacksonville's company for many things. Although they do seem to be turning things around.
They're 3-1.
But penalties I blame on coaches.
You don't blame the youth of the players?
Well, you can, but ultimately that's...
What the hell was that penalty where the center moved the ball?
Correct.
And all of a sudden it was considered moving it closer to the line of scrimmage, so that was a... Was that a false start penalty?
Yeah, it became a false start. So because they said he moved the ball over the goal line, because they were inside the one, so he ended up moving the line of scrimmage. Everybody's getting lined up, and then all of a sudden he just kind of shifts the ball forward a little bit.
Yeah.
And because the ball's now over the end line... They called a full start. Apparently a point of emphasis.
Okay.
We got to take a break here on Jen Gabe, which we still have a lot of stuff to get to today. I want to get to that Giannis conversation. Obviously, he was available at Media Day yesterday, although he is still in Greece. But do you think, I mean, that the youth of the Packers is sort of a reason why they are struggling in some areas right now? Is it just one of those learning curves that you have to swallow because the emphasis is for the Packers to be one of the youngest teams in the league? Let us know, 800-990-3776. We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. But I want to tell you guys about my friends over at Potawatomi Casino, because Potawatomi is transitioning to October just like everybody else. And when they do October, they do October. You can play Bird Bash. That's the new game show for $50,000 in cash. Play with your Potawatomi rewards card. Prize drawings are on Thursdays, plus your play earns you a shot at the $300,000 December season finale. This game is called Bird Bash. It's only available at Potawatomi Casino Hotel. For more details, visit paysbig.com/birdbash.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Come on, guys, let's think about this. What could you do 50 straight days
of
burgers?
Very condescending. I just want to be clear.
Let's put our heads together.
Again, I have children. I know condescending when I hear it.
On 94.5 ESPN.
We've enjoyed having Professional Construction Inc. help us with our home projects. As you might know, Dario and I, not the most handy people, but when we get ourselves in a jam, we always know we can call our friends at PCI to help us navigate it. Mike and Michelle operate a family-owned company. They believe in building relationships, and they are here for you if you have a remodeling project, a home addition, or you're thinking about building a new home. 20 years of experience, that matters. They are also hiring experienced carpenters, so if that's you or someone you know, make sure you check out ProfessionalConstructionInc.com. ProfessionalConstructionInc.com. Tell them Jen from Jen, Gabe, and Chewy sent you. So I want to give proper due to the Giannis conversation, so I'm just going to get some reaction that we have here rolling in as we talk about the Packers being one of the youngest teams, the youngest team in the NFL. Justin weighing in saying, I've been one of the biggest anti-Goody guys before this offseason. He fully deserves credit for bringing in Golden and Parsons, but needs to sprinkle in a couple of dudes that have simply been there, done that. Any good organization needs that kind of wisdom. Gabe?
Isn't that kind of what Aaron Banks was supposed to be?
What about Hobbs? Like, aren't some of these guys older? And
yeah, I mean, any free agent that you're bringing in on the opening day of free agency would fit the criteria that we've just been talking about, Chew, of being those veterans. And Aaron Banks was on some pretty successful teams for the 49ers. Kind of need to be available, though, in order to impart that wisdom in the middle of a game.
But he had that injury resume coming in, you know, so that's not a shock.
I mean, are you talking about Hobbs?
No, I'm talking about Banks.
Yeah, not to the extent that Hobbs did, though.
Hobbs, we didn't really know what he was. Wasn't that a little bit of a shock?
We knew he was physical.
He played
and that's it.
Terrible, which my guess is usually when you have a stinker like that, you're not coming back until you're 100% healthy. So could be a couple weeks. I don't know.
Would it shock you that according to Pro Football Focus, he played better than Carrington Valentine?
Really?
I mean, not good, but
yeah,
better than Carrington.
He gave up some big plays.
And better somehow than Keyshawn Nixon.
Yeah, they were bad. They were bad. But
will they be bad all season?
No, they'll be fine. Turn it around. Like I said, this thing doesn't start for another 2 months.
Just so. In case you were curious, Jen, your guy Quay ranked 17th out of 18 Packer defenders.
So that's
good.
Good.
There's your stinker.
Clunker.
Your clunker.
We'll take a break. A lot of stuff to still get to as the show rolls on. We've got Jeff Levering. We're going to talk about Giannis. Still a lot of stuff, so stick around.